Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today I'm of course joined by the editor of the site and Mr. Team News himself, Neil Rigg. It's a Friday afternoon. The international break is effectively over. Don't worry, all of you FPL fans. The time is now for some team news. And it's been a busy day for you, Neil, hasn't it? From what I can see, was it 17 press conferences in one afternoon? How are you getting on?
It certainly was, yeah. I've just a second finished going through the last of them, which was Nottingham Forest. They're always the last ones to arrive. But yeah, we had only... I knew we were in for a bad day when I got the list yesterday and there's only three managers on it for Thursday. So I knew this was going to be busy. But I think we've got everything now out of the video.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, it's incredible how the job you guys do to get all that information, to cycle through all that information on a Friday afternoon. And as you say, you always know there's a calm before the storm, isn't there, on a Thursday when there's not very many managers. So yeah, well done for getting through it all today. Before we jump into that team news, we do just have a quick message from our sponsor. This video is sponsored by Betway, who are the principal betting partners of West Ham and the betting partner of Brighton as well. On Fridays, they announce the heroes of the weekend. Bet £10 on player markets, top scorer of the heroes, and they will credit a £1 free bet for every point up to £20. They also run giveaways as well, including shirts and tickets of West Ham and Brighton, two in-demand FPL teams right now. We know not everybody gambles, which is something we take seriously, and that is why on our website we have a filter so you can turn that on, which allows you to opt out of gambling ads. For those who enjoy it, do so responsibly and safely. There's more info about Betway in the description. You, of course, have to be 18 or over to play, and we encourage everybody to gamble responsibly and to be gambleaware.org. When the fun stops, stop. But as I say many times on these videos, the fun never stops when there's team news, Neil. So let's jump straight into it. The first game of the game week is, of course, going to be Wolves against Liverpool. Lots of interest in this one, especially for the away team. Unfortunately, I don't actually have the screenshot for Liverpool on the screen, so apologies on that. I'm going to go and look for that. We've got some information from Wolves. But yeah, take us away, Neil. How are things getting on for this one?
Yeah, well, there's quite a bit to report, actually, from Liverpool. Trent's not going to be fit, so he is sidelined with a hamstring injury that he picked up in game week four. He is at least running now, so and Klopp says he's going to be doing some ball work early next week, so that might indicate a possible game week five return, certainly game week six, you'd think. Sorry, I'll say that again. That might indicate a possible game week six return, possibly game week seven, not game week five. He's definitely out of this one, I should specify that. So he's now red flagged. Van Dijk's also out as well. He had a ban extended. He was out for one game originally, but that's now become two because of his verbals. And Thiago was just at the running stage of his recovery, so he's not ready to feature either. Better-ish news elsewhere. Canati's been back in training, although he's only done 2 days as of Friday morning. And Darwin, Klopp thinks is fine. There was talk from Bielsa, wasn't it? He's a Uruguay coach. Is that right, Bielsa? I think he is. Talking about Darwin's half-time withdrawal for Uruguay in midweek and indicate that there may be some muscular problems there, though it seemed to be more that he didn't want to overwork him rather than there was an injury. And Klopp's kind of reaffirmed that today. However, he's one of four players who've come back late from South America on international duty. So Alisson, Diaz and McAllister, the others, they were all in action in either very, very late on Tuesday night or early hours of Wednesday morning, and then have had long-haul flights back. None of them have actually been in training as of yet. So Klopp gave his presser at noon, and he suggests that... he didn't say it, but he was intimating that there might be a problem for them to feature them tomorrow, or certainly doubts over their game time. So it would not surprise me if Alisson is only one of that quartet who actually starts. McAllister probably the next most likely, but then after beyond that, I think with Diaz and Darwin laid back, he's got two ready-made replacements in Gakpo and Jota ready to go. McAllister's a bit more of a harder replacement, but he's got Jones, he's got Endo to come in. So it might be that three of those four don't start. Alisson, match fitness isn't really a worry, or fatigue's not really a worry because he's going to be in between the posts. But yeah, the other three are concerns. And of course, Alexander out as well. So they're down a few numbers for that trip to Wolves.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good job that Liverpool are playing Wolves this week, and not a team that Liverpool... Well, I don't know. I think we were waiting for Liverpool to get their good fixtures in a proper block, and I'm looking at them in a few weeks' time, so I'm happy for them to be a bit understaffed this week. And you've obviously mentioned some international stuff as well. We've got a nice comment in the chat from Dennis Robertson, who says, Neil, your international break details on the member site is just mental. The detail is amazing. Thank you so much. And that is just a nice little reminder that there's going to be a couple of points in this video where Neil, of course, references some people who've been on some long journeys in the last week. If you want to know absolutely every single thing about where these guys have been, Neil pretty much has been following them around the globe with an intricate series of cameras and all sorts, just to know exactly, you know, what they have for breakfast, what flight they left home on, all those kind of things. It's very, very useful, and an international break has finished, so do check that out as well. So yeah, nice little plug for that. Let's move on to Aston Villa and Crystal Palace now. Crystal Palace, of course, home of the fated team news hero that is Nathan Ferguson. Let's get some likes on the chat in honor of Nathan Ferguson. He's a big name in the injury news world. So yeah, how are things getting on between these two teams? There's quite a few defensive injuries at both clubs, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So this will force start with Palace first. This will force Hodgson to his first change of the season. I think he's had kept the same team for the first four game weeks. So Mark Gahey's likely to miss this one. He came off at half time in that England Scotland game on Tuesday. It was a muscle injury or a hip muscle injury. So he looks like he missed out. Lehm has come back with a hamstring injury as well. So they're two very key first team starters. Tompkins, who is a possible understudy for Gay, is a concern with a minor injury. And then they've also got the two existing ones, Franca and Alicia. I'll not even touch on Nathan Ferguson because he's not even listed in FPL. But he has been retained in the 25-man squad, so that's good. So yeah, Villa... They have got a few defensive injuries, but they've also got a key name back at the back, and that's Alex Moreno, who's been in training over the last fortnight, and he's in contention for this fixture, whether he will start or not. I think there's still a bit of doubt. But they're slowly getting players back because Ramsey's nearing a return as well. He hasn't featured this season yet. Bertrand Traore is nearly back also. They have lost Diego Carlos, though, for the time being. He came off at Anfield 2 weeks ago with a hamstring problem. He's unavailable. I don't think it's too serious, but he won't make this one. And of course, you've got the long-term ones, Mings and Buendia as well. I'll just briefly revisit Wolves v Liverpool because I didn't actually give you the Wolves team news. Thankfully, there isn't that much to report. No new concerns from International Week. And I think the only person who's definitely out is Joe Hodge, who's a backup central midfielder anyway.
Ah, that's good. That's good news. Yeah, for all of you concerned, Wolves FPL investees out there, we have sorted that one out. We're going to try and get through as much of this as quickly as we can because it is you know, Friday afternoon and people want to digest it nice and quickly. But I do just have one question for you on Villa Palace. Because obviously Matty Cash has all of a sudden become part of the... he's not quite in the template yet, but he's certainly in the template transfers in. You know, there's still a lot of interest in him. The return of Moreno, is that concerning? Because obviously we saw in the summer them sometimes go with this asymmetrical thing where they'd play a fullback on one side, for example, could be Moreno, and then they'd put a centre-back like a Konsa in the right-back position so they could... shift to that sort of, you know, three-box-three thing that that Liverpool have been trying, for example. And that did sometimes see Cash not involved in the summer. Sometimes they'd flip it round and they'd put Pau Torres in the left-back position so he could do the same thing and then Cash would bomb forward. So do you have any concerns with that? And I suppose this is just an opportunity just to direct people, I suppose, to the predicted lineup sections of Fantasy Football Scout, which probably already has the answer to this question, but I've put you on the spot.
Yeah, that is... that is the week-to-week concern, because he was shifting it every week during pre-season. At the moment, he looks assured of a start, wherever that may be, because Mings is out and Carlos is out as well. So he's only got two of his four centre-halves. So he almost has to play with orthodox full-backs at the moment. Marino is obviously just back as well, so it might take him a week or two to get up to full fitness. Where you want cash at the moment is on the right wing, which is where he racked up those... Most of his impressive stats came from one match, wasn't it, against Burnley when he was playing on that right wing. I think did he have six shots in that one game alone? So you want him there, ideally. And he might not be there this weekend. However, I mean, going forward, even if Marino starts, even if it's, say, Konsa right back, Carlos, Torres, centre-half, and then Dinia or Marino at left-back, Cash has still been playing, could still play as a right winger. So that versatility gives him a bit more, a few more routes to a first team start. But I would stop short of considering him completely nailed based on, as you said, what we saw in pre-season with those lopsided back fours. And he's got the likes of Bailey and the Italian lad who can play on the right as well. Diaby can play there as well. He's got positional rivals in both areas, really, has Cash.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose the handy thing is the injuries to the centre-backs.
Yeah.
Probably just takes away. It's a little bit like it's just one less person to worry about. So hopefully we're okay. Yeah. But certainly...
For the time being.
Yeah, for the time being, exactly. And whenever people do have these sorts of questions, the best place to get an answer, as always, is the Fantasy Football Scout website. Go to the Predicted Team News. That's where Neil has the opportunity to distill all of this information into his predicted lineup. So make sure you head there. Let's go to Fulham versus Luton now. A fixture that, you know, a couple of years ago perhaps wouldn't have expected to be a Premier League one, but here we are. Big respect to these two clubs. There's mild interest in this because, of course, Carlton Morris has got his double game week coming up. Fulham, less so. But, yeah, what can you tell us about these two teams?
Yes, indeed. Fulham, Iwobi should be fit for this one. He's training over the international break, so he could be making his debut. He's been out for a little while with a hamstring problem. Lukic is still out, and there'll be a late call on Tom Kearney as well. And Tosin's now been added to the injury list. He wasn't starting anyway, but he's now going to be out for 6 to 7 weeks. And Luton, yes. Yeah. I'll segue straight into Luton. pretty good. Also, Clark and Potts, they're the only ones who are definitely out. Tom Lockyer is back in training as well, so that's good. Rob Edwards said that everyone else is fit and available, so that's presumably good news for Alfie Doughty, who seemed to limp off in game week four. So three out, no one beyond that. He did have some sort of cautionary words about his internationals, some of whom have been playing around the world. Amari Bell being one example. He was representing Jamaica, so that's a long flight back. I think he didn't get battle till Thursday morning, and he flew overnight. So there was a bit of caution about that. This Issa Kabore as well has been away, and Rudik and Panzu as well. So they were the three players name-checked by Edwards as slight concerns. Bell, you would say that they've not got too many players who can play in his position. Left-sided centre-half, Anderson possibly, but it's not really his natural role. But something to think about anyway going into the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's going to be a lot of interest in Luton moving forward. So, we may have to get used to giving them more airtime than usual with this double game week coming up. Let's move on to Man United and Brighton, two teams who very much deserve to be in the conversation. Lots going on here, largely probably to do with United's defence, perhaps. But then also there's a lot of interest in who is going to start in the attack for Brighton. You know, it's almost like one in, one out, I suppose, because we've got this call being made on Ferguson, the new Ferguson, the one we actually care about now. Welbeck, it sounds like, is the one who's fit again. But obviously, it all revolves around João Pedro. Some people still have him. They're thinking about Carlton Morris. That seems like an easy switch, potentially. So, yeah, there's actually lots to unpack here.
There really is. And I'll be honest, I need to watch De Zerbi's press roll with him, because when it was live, which was about half one-ish, it isn't streamed live like some of them are. So I will have to watch that in its entirety, because as we saw recently with the Pedro news, watching De Zerbi's presses all the way through and transcribing them word for word is very important, because there can be some clues. Of what I've seen, and what I've seen reported on it so far, Ferguson will be a late assessment. He's trained, but only, I think, yesterday. Let me see. Yes, returned to training yesterday. And I think Deservey said he wasn't in his best condition. So he seemed to be pointing us in the direction of maybe Welbeck starting. And Cissé was out, of course, as well. He also said that Ansu Fati will make his debut, although wasn't sure whether that would be from the start. Now, he can play in Mitoma's position on the left, or he can play centrally, either as a forward or slightly behind. I think probably slightly behind is more natural for him. So another positional rival to João Pedro, perhaps. And now I've seen this report as well, and this is, again, I'm going to have to watch this all the way through. So stay tuned on the website. There'll be an article roundup. It's already live on the site, but I'll quote to it later. Apparently, De Zerbi also made mention of the long trips made by Stupinan and Buonanotte, because they have been away on international duty in South America as well. Now, Stupinan's never been, there has been that many international breaks since De Zerbi took over, but he started in the following games previously after representing Ecuador. But of course, the difference this time is that Brighton's playing twice a week now for the foreseeable. The Europa League starts next week. So there was a slight bit of concern there for Stupinan. But as I say, I will transcribe those quotes accurately later on once the video drops, and then we can see if there was a lot of fuss about nothing or whether there's a genuine concern there.
Mm. Well, of course, that's an ample opportunity just to push people towards the Fantasy Football Scout X account, as it's called now, or Twitter, if you're like everybody else. One of the best ways to track a lot of this team news stuff is, of course, to turn your notifications on for that so that you can get all of the updates as they come through. They all come from the press conferences that Neil spends a lot of time either being in or watching, etc. Depending on they're all accessing them all, is very tricky. Each one does it very differently. So the social media channels is a good way of just following all of what trickles out of those, so do keep an eye on that. Also worth saying, there's a lot of questions in the chat about like what to do with your team this week. Just another reminder that this is strictly about team news, so we're largely just kind of feeding you with information here. And if you want some advice on what to do with this information for your team, we have got some extra bits of content between now and the deadline. We'll have deadline dilemmas tonight on Friday. We'd normally have that on Thursday, but Rich and Praz just weren't free last night, so they're going to do theirs tonight. It's worked out quite nicely because it, of course, means that they can do it the night before the deadline again. So if you've got questions about what to do with your team, they're the guys to tune into later on at 9 p.m. UK time and get some answers. And if you're in a part of the world where that's going to be too late, don't worry. We'll have a deadline stream tomorrow morning as well where we can go through the same thing. So don't forget that. So yeah, we're not ignoring your questions if you're asking us about your transfers. It's more just the focus of this video is purely the injuries and the team news and some predictions for some lineups. Let's move to Spurs and Sheffield United now. Quite nicely, especially when we're trying to rattle through things quite quickly, it seems like there's not really an update from Spurs, and do we really care about Sheffield United other than do we just need them to be dismantled? Right, that's what most people are looking for with their teams this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sudden attracting a lot of new owners, and he seems to be fine because, of course, he was pictured on Tuesday wearing the strapping and I think an ice pack on his was his knee, I think it was. But he played in that same evening, he played 90 minutes for South Korea. And Postecoglou says today that everyone's returned unscathed from the international, so. Sounds all good. I think the only line of note, Lo Celso still not fit enough to return with his quad problem. And they've still got the likes of Sessegnon and Brian Hill and Bentancur. Bentancur is actually back in training now after a long, long period, but nowhere near ready to play yet.
Yeah, definitely wait and see on those guys. But yeah, for now, don't really need to worry. And yeah, very good news on Son as well. West Ham and Man City this time.
Can I just stop you there, David? Sorry, I haven't done Sheffield United yet.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Surely that shows the situation we find ourselves in with the Blades. I'm so sorry. I'm even sat here with the Sheffield United shirt behind me. what a disgraceful individual I am. I do apologise. I'm not a Closet Wednesday fan, I promise.
Lundstrom would turn in his grave if he was dead, of course, but he's not. As an FPL, I said he is. Quite a lot of report actually from Sheffield United. So they already have a few players out: Osborne, Lowe, Fleck, Brewster, Knighton, Davis, Jebison, all out. Lerucci's back though; he should be fine. Tom Davies, it's just a match fitness issue with him. The main lines of note are the returning internationals, and they had five players called up. Four of them got injuries, so that they've had a bad run. The good thing is that Anil, I'll call him Anil because I can't pronounce his second name. He didn't go away with Bosnia, but is now fit. He's returned to training, so he's fine. The other three, there's concerns about. So Baldock and Asula, they pulled out of the national team squads with injuries. Egan actually played both games for Ireland, but Heckenbottom said yesterday that he'd come back injured as well. He has since been seen in training, according to the Bladesman, who's an account definitely worth following on Twitter. Baldock and Asula weren't spotted. So I think that was today, or at least in the footage released today. So there's obviously a bit of concern about him. So it could be Baldock missing out and Bogle starting. Asula had lost his pace anyway to Archer and McBurney. So they are quite a few players down. I think they have probably got the longest injury list now in the Premier League.
That is good news for people back in Spurs. So we
exactly.
So it does all mean something, even if we're not interested in the specifics. The quantity of injuries is good for us in a way where, as I said, well, Brian Morrissey says in the chat, I'm more of a Monday than a Closet Wednesday, so I'll take that. As long as you don't think I'm a Closet Wednesday, then we're all good. So yes, let's move on now to West Ham and City. More interest in City, I think, at the moment still. The West Ham are starting to become of interest to people. Their fixtures are getting quite good from, I think, game week 9, 10. Bowen, Ward-Prowse, Antonio sort of all involved. But from what we can see, it looks like Moyes is more talking about his late returners, which doesn't appear to be anyone really of any relevance. Whereas with Man City, there's a few extra people added to the injury list, isn't there?
There is, yeah. West Ham, Moyes reporting his usual knocks, as he always does. The only person we were aware of who had been a concern over the internationals was Kufal. He was pulled out of the Czech Republic's second game, only slightly injured, according to Czech media, so he might be one of the minor doubts. Everyone else fine, and as you said there, I think it was just Edson Alvarez, who came back late from Mexico, I think landed at 3 a.m. Was it yesterday or the day before? Man City, yes, I listened to Pep back in the hot seat, of course. He's been flagged himself with the back surgery, but he's now taking press conferences and he'll be in the dugout this weekend. They have still got John Stones out, who had been seemingly close to a return 2 weeks ago, but he's still out. Grealish is out as well, and of course De Bruyne is out for months and months. Kovacic is the newest addition. He was actually on the bench for both of Croatia's games during the internationals, but wasn't risked in either of them, and then I think he went for a scan thereafter, something muscular in his back, and he's not going to feature either. So that's four red flags for Man City, which does make their 11 slightly easier to predict, although as we saw in game week four, if you hadn't had that leak from Luke and the main road account, who would have predicted a start for Doku or Guardiola being benched and, you know, Akanji coming straight back? So he's still capable of some shocks, even if his squad is a bit decimated.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, you never know. That, as you say, is about as a bigger alarm bell as you can get, that anything can happen even when there's not many people around. I'm just looking at what time they kick off. They do kick off at 3 o'clock, It's in London, so the team is going to travel. So you'd like to think that we maybe get some, and when we talk about these kind of in inverted commas leaks, it isn't really a leak. It's kind of quite normal. It's all part of the usual above board journalistic process of there's always going to be members of the press in and around the team hotel. So hopefully we might get some news there, as well, that could potentially feed into those predicted lineups, maybe. So we'll have to see. Actually, some good stuff in the chat, actually, from Nick, who says it's easier to keep Foden with Grealish news as well, which is quite useful because people have been a little bit sort of umming and ahhing about Foden because he hasn't hit the heights FPL-wise as we'd like, although he did play well for England, as you'd expect. It's relatively positive news, but always be wary because it is Pep.
Exactly. Pretty much so.
Yeah. Well, let's move from one team that causes people a lot of problems in terms of predicting a team to a team that causes people a lot of problems with what they do on the pitch. And much to Neil's delight, that is, of course, Newcastle United. They're facing Brentford this week. I don't actually have the Brentford news on the screen yet, so I'm going to try and grab hold of that. But the biggest news, I do think, injury-wise in this match is, of course, Botman.
Yeah, if he was ruled out, I was going to use that as a headline. No, Botman. but it's positive. So he's been in training this week. And Eddie Howe said this morning that it's possible that he will feature. Fingers crossed. So I think that sounds like good news. I would be getting him in for game week 6 anyway, I think, or a Newcastle representative at the back, because I think Brentford are capable of scoring against him this weekend. That's by the by. Elsewhere, team news, Willock and Kraft still out. Two withdrawals from Newcastle players over the international week. Elliot Anderson, it sounds less serious of the two. Again, Howe's hopeful of him featuring. Sandro Tonali is probably the slightly more serious one. I'll even then, a scan has shown that there's only a slight injury. I think it was his thigh that he injured while away with Italy. So he didn't completely rule him out this weekend. Clockhouse says it's not too serious. We'll have to see whether he's available, but I think he's not going to risk him. I think he'll use this opportunity to put Longstaff in, who we've arguably missed anyway. As for Brentford, they were one of the three to have their press comments yesterday. Nothing really much happening there. Still out, of course, Ivan Toney, who's going to be out for a long time yet. Baptiste and De Silva are long-term injuries as well, or medium-term. Damsgaard hasn't quite recovered. He's nearly back. He'll be back for game week 6, not this one. And in a blow to their attack, Neil Maupay is ready to be involved as well.
Nice. And yeah, I mean, Neil Maupay is available for Brentford. Feels, whenever I see that, I'm like, am I playing like a really old version of Football Manager or something where we haven't updated the squads yet? Yeah. It's very odd.
One of the strangest signings of deadline day, that was.
Yeah, because Brentford don't really need him in a way, because they're scoring a lot of goals and he isn't. But maybe sometimes it takes going home to more familiar surroundings, because, you know, he has lost his way a little bit, you know, hasn't been able to find the net. So maybe some familiar surroundings will help him out. So maybe. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. He could become one of those options everybody overlooks because he's had a bad few years. When he starts scoring some goals, could be a differential. But that's for another time. Let's move on to Bournemouth against Chelsea now. Bournemouth, again, the list of people who are out, it does look quite long. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're in dire straits, because they haven't been doing awfully. There is, of course, more interest in Chelsea, but thankfully it doesn't appear to be anything too big other than Reece James, which largely probably only affects Gusto owners, is my guess.
Yeah. I think it's almost as you were for both teams, with the exception, I'll start with Bournemouth. Dan Guitar is back. He's the only one they've recovered. They've still got four players out: Adams, Fredericks, Marcondes, and Scott. And they've also had three late returns themselves from international duty: Sinisi, Sinisterra, and Traore. Chelsea is the one, of course, everyone's interested in. We were expecting some of their players back. Haven't seen them in training, but they've got no one newly available. And in fact, they've added to the list because Lavia, it was only match fitness with him. He's now re-injured himself in training, and he's going to be out for some time, certainly weeks. So him, Chukwuemeka, Chalobah, Bettinelli, Fofana and Cuckoo are out. Brozier, Badiashile and James had been cited at Cobham in the last fortnight, but they're all going to miss out again. James, actually, based on Pochettino's comments today, he's hoping to get him back before the next international break. So that's still, he could still be out for two or three more weeks beyond this. He is at least on the grass and doing ball work, so he's not too far away. But certainly it looks positive for Gusto in the meantime, and looks positive for Jackson, because Brozier was touted as a possible positional rival. The Albanian FA president was very adamant that Brozier's going to be on the bench this week for Chelsea. I don't know how you'd know that, but Pochettino was kind of rubbish that remark by saying he's not ready. They are still... they're in team training, but as Chelsea put it, they're in a reconditioning phase, so... Essentially means match fitness. So both him and Badiashile are not going to play a part at Bournemouth by the sounds of it.
As you say, good news for those of us who are invested in Jackson, and the more familiar household names from an FPL perspective in the Chelsea team do appear to not be under too much threat, which is good news. Now, we probably could have opened with this, but... such as the way team news works, I've been going through them all in schedule order. Probably the biggest one I've seen floating about in the international break is, of course, this story about Saka and this ongoing Achilles issue that he's had. It sounds like we don't need to worry about it, but I mean, yeah, talk us, for people who weren't aware of it, give us a brief sort of description of what's been in the news, how much truth you think there is to it, how much truth we think there is to it, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the Arteta reaction to it today, because Saka obviously huge asset for FPL, priced so well that, you know, if you're missing one of these key midfielders and there was a problem with Saka, you'd maybe sell him. So it's a real big one, this one. So what's the latest with this?
It's fine. I saw this story during the week that it was reaching somewhat for a bit of an angle where there wasn't really one. Arteta says something that he's fine, he's trained normally. He said every player has got pains or issues, and it's normal in elite sport, and there's nothing to worry about. So I think people were thinking that because he was benched for the second game, that there was an issue, but they rotated other players as well. I think they made five or six changes, didn't they? England. I don't think there's anything to read into that. But he's fine. He's going to be available this weekend, barring any sort of late setback in between now and then. So I think it's just the usual three are out. So Elneny, and Timber there, of course, who've been out for a while. Thomas Partey injured himself before game week four, and he's a few weeks away. So hopefully, if you're Gabriel owner, that still means Zinchenko and Verton, White at right back, and then Gabriel appearing at centre half.
Yeah, I mean, that is, of course, the other big issue is a lot of people were looking to probably start Gabriel this week. He's been in the predicted lineup, I think, now for your last two games, I think. And he started the last one. Well, when I say last two, I mean, you've got him in the current one, haven't you? And the last one you predicted him for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a stop clock and all that is right eventually. But it looked almost impossible for... We'd have to come up with even new and inventive ways to overlook him. by not fielding them last time in game week four, and lo and behold, that's what happened. So he should be still there this weekend. Everton, of course, Arsenal travel to. They're still without Dele Alli and Coleman. Jack Harrison's is near in a return, but he's not quite match fit yet. Branthwaite's fine. He came back from England under 21 duty, but he's all right. Calvert-Lewin should be all right as well. He's had a facial injury, of course. He's been back on the grass and managed to keep his, obviously, it's just contact has been the issue. He's been keeping his fitness levels up, and he's, Dice said he'll come back into the fold, so I assume he's going to be in the match day squad this weekend as well.
Yeah, there we are. So, Everton versus Arsenal, lots of news there, specifically with Arsenal, for people that we've got in our teams. Our final one then, arguably the most exciting fixture of the weekend. So exciting they decided to kick it off 15 minutes before it normally would do because everyone's so excited about it. Forest against Burnley. And actually, to be fair, I sound sarcastic. I am actually going to start my goalkeeper in this. So,
yeah. Me too.
I actually realised what an idiotic thing for me to do, pretend no one cares when actually we really do. Forest versus Burnley. I have the Forest update. I'm about to drag it onto the screen. Neil will probably tell me not to bother because it's probably all lies and deception. Knowing Cooper, but is there anything that's really of massive note? Because it probably is goalkeeper or bust for this game on Monday night for people.
Yeah, most people, unless you're going for a free scoring centre forward, of course. But yeah, there was three names mentioned: Danilo, who was a doubt for game week four and then re-injured himself soon after kickoff. He looks set to miss out, although again, I'll take everything Cooper says with a pinch of salt. He hasn't trained. They have got the Monday to recover him, of course. Aurier and Elanga, they both, Aurier came off against Chelsea and then Elanga withdrew from the Sweden squad with minor issues. And Cooper says they'll be assessed and we're not sure if they're going to play, which means they're going to start. There's a. I don't know if you remember that Trigger Happy sketch with Dom Jolly stood under the sign which says "Do not trust this man." It's a picture of Dom Jolly right next to it. That is Steve Cooper. Do not trust anything he says.
Yeah, it's a good job we don't have him on the stream. Otherwise, he would make for very bad FPL advice, wouldn't he? So, yeah, there we are. We covered all 20 teams now. I think we've managed to do it probably in record time.
We haven't talked Burnley.
So bad at this afternoon. They all blend into one for me. That's the problem. Trying to manage chat and listen to the updates. I'm awful. A Friday afternoon.
That's fine. I'll keep going, dude.
You know, it's a Friday. Friday. These things happen.
Exactly. We're ringing it in by this point. We're on the beach in FPL content terms. They have Ekdal still out. And I think Obafemi and Chilinov as well. They're both backup players regardless. Vitinho's recovered, Ramsey's recovered, and Zerouri's back after a three-match ban as well. So I doubt anyone's at least bit interested in that.
Well, I'm sure the Twitter clarets out there are probably interested. But, you know, it's worth knowing to what extent Burnley are equipped to break the turn of clean sheet so that we know if it's going to happen in the third minute or the 93rd minute. So,
and they've got a double cover themselves, haven't they, in game week 7 as well, so I shouldn't be so dismissive.
Yeah. Actually, everybody is saying that I think I accidentally skipped you past Man United earlier on. So should we just quickly jump back? Yeah. I mean, a team of minor consequence, you know, not that interesting. I gave you the prompt and then you talked about Brighton and then I shifted you along. In answer to the question from FPL Scope, David is somewhere to be, clearly. I have other content to try and get recorded for this particular game week. So just Fridays for Fantasy Football Scout, it is hectic. We all have places to be. And clearly Man United are the sacrificial lamb to make that happen. But don't worry, guys. We'll talk to you about the Red Devils. Neil will do that now. And I'm going
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought I'd spot everything. There's quite a bit to report that this game comes a little bit too soon for Varane and Mount. They're nearly back, so possibly game week 6 for those two. Still out, Shaw, Heaton, Mainoo, Diallo and Malacia as well. Anthony, of course, isn't going to feature after those allegations. Sancho's not going to feature either for different disciplinary reasons. And I think even the Man United site said it wasn't known whether Amrabat's going to be fit for this one. Martinez and Lindelof will be, but that's slightly reassuring. Both the centre-halves will be available for this.
There we go. I think now we've managed to bring you all the teams. And the funny thing about the United one is actually pretty big. I mean, of all of the updates, not only is there injuries to key players, there's all sorts of news about multiple individuals with their players. The Sancho one especially is very interesting, as you alluded to there. Some maybe things not quite right between him and the manager behind the scenes, potentially. And yeah, I somehow managed to forget that we needed to talk about it. So we've done it now. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to throw together the roundup this week in what is rapidly becoming possibly my worst ever time hosting a video on Fantasy Football Scout. I've had a bit of a rough week with my PC. I only got it back a couple of hours ago. So been trying to rush everything together. Joe, there's a couple of questions. Where's Joe? He's on a well-earned annual leave. So guess to get some likes on the chat in honour of Joe on holiday. And one last thing before I sign us off. Yes, I'm fully aware that one of my tabs in a completely different window started firing up when I was trying to close them down earlier on. So if you heard the introduction to Jerry Anderson Stingray, that was me. I'm really sorry. But if that's an opportunity for you to go and watch some cult TV from the 1960s, then I'm not sorry. So, yeah, what a day.
I mean, we could have played out the start. Anything could happen in the next half hour, couldn't we, on the team news video?
That is very true. Yeah. Well, they got was standby for action, which, again, they got, but not if it was Man United action. So, yeah, thank you, everybody in the chat who was very well-natured about it. It could have gone even worse. If we'd just had a whole episode running across the back, you might have got in trouble with ITV for, you know, copyright infringement. So as long as nobody tells ITV that we did that, I think we're going to be fine. I'm not the sort of person who just sits there watching Stingray at work. I do a little bit of side stuff with the Jerry Anderson YouTube channel, and unfortunately I left their page open whilst I was doing the team news stream. So here we are. It's a chaotic Friday afternoon. What can I say? It says here Neil doesn't look like the Stingray type, but I believe, Neil, we have talked about Stingray and Captain Scarlet at work before, and we've reminisced about cult TV before, haven't we? So correct chat.
Yeah, they reran them in the 90s, and which is my sort of youth. They reran all the Jerry Anderson stuff. Captain Scarlet was just definitely my favourite. Thunderbirds as well. Those are me two. And funny enough, my young son's been playing with some Thunderbird figurines left over from his uncles as well. So
incredible.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. We've managed to, this went in a very interesting direction that we never expected and totally wasn't intentional. But we'll have to wrap it up there before people who have no idea what we're talking about sort of think we've gone crazy, such as the nature of SL on Friday. We just completely go loopy. But yeah, there's a quick reminder, of course, that if you've not signed up for your membership yet, get that sorted ahead of the deadline because it's on Saturday. You've got a bit of extra time to sign up tonight, spend the evening in the members area, flicking through some tables. Of course, you get access to our members' videos as well. We've got another one of them coming tonight. Deadline Dilemmas is on at 9 o'clock UK time, so make sure you tune into that. That's going to help you with all of your last-minute panicking. And if you want some help with your last-minute panicking, you can join the Deadline stream on Saturday. Like the stream as well, and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. With that, we shall leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your tinkering ahead of the Game Week 5 deadline, and we shall see you next time.
Bye-bye.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.